You can't handle the truth.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for help, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show. And again, a good belated Mother's Day gift. Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. Tell your mom, hey, look at Greece, look at Cyprus. Look at what they're doing in the country now when they're limiting withdrawals, and I'm getting these reports really now by the dozens. Convert your cash into precious metals as much as you possibly can. Keep enough to pay the bills as long as we're still going. And to do that, give Steve Quayle a call tomorrow at 486-586-4842. Again, that's 486-586-4842. And if the proverbial poop does hit the fan, and I believe it will, I think the case is really clear that it's not a matter of if, but when. What we're looking at here is, what are you going to do for food? Are you ready? If you don't have storable food, I have a solution for you. Low cost, get you into it. You at least need to get 90 days to start with, because time is that short. 6 months would be better. We recommend 2 years. I mean, if you really want to stay ahead of the curve, and you better have some seeds to go with it. Well, to do all that, you need to go to numana.com/Hodges. Again, that's numana.com/Hodges. So I'd encourage all of you to take advantage of these great opportunities. We have 5% off. That's explainable when you get to the website. And to our producer here, I just lost our Comrex. Okay, it came back up. We should be good to go. Anyway, we are working on establishing communications with Kurt Schilling. We're having trouble reaching him. The phone lines are not cooperating. Surprise, surprise. But we will keep working on that. We've got a couple of numbers, and our producer is working that as we speak. So let me bring Katie in. Katie, how are you?
Good. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. Hey, one other sponsor I wanted to mention, Katie, and I know you're prepared, too. If the bad guy comes through the door, you're ready, aren't you?
I am ready as much as I can be. I've been doing this for, 10 years. So,
well,
yeah.
From what you told me, I wouldn't want to mess with you. And I want to tell you about my good friend Josh over at DETCTactical.com. That's DETCTactical.com. If you go to my page up there, he's got a Hodges page. You can get him anytime, anywhere in terms of his great products. He's got the best accessories for guns, and people think it's just lock and load and shoot. Oh, it's a lot more than that, particularly if you're involved in an extended conflict, particularly, you know, if the normal support services for society are down 30 days, 90 days or longer. You're going to need to be prepared to go on your own as your own police force for some time, and you're going to need ancillary supplies. And to find out what some of those might be, if you're ignorant to that fact, go to the website DETCTactical.com. Go ahead and put in whatever it is you're looking for, or you can just scroll and go to my page, the Hodges page, and you'll see that there are all kinds of specials that Josh makes available for our listeners here at the Common Sense Show. So again, that's DETCTactical.com. And folks, I'm trying to get you ready, because the reports we're getting are just saying not a lot of time. And you're reading the same stuff I am. I'm getting different flavors of what Steve Quayle's getting. I'm getting different flavors of what Alex Jones and Doug Hagman, Ted Brower. But effectively, when you have this many sources, and it's open source intelligence, and let me figure out what this is. Help you figure out what this is. Do you know that about 85% of all intelligence is open source? Stuff that's classified gets out there on the internet anyway. And once it's out there in the public domain, you can access it legally, and you can publish it and print it and discuss it. Well, this is where we get a lot of our information, because Some of us have learned how to look and how to gather this information. For the other really good stuff that's still under lock and key, we have a lot of insider sources that approach us because there are a lot of people working in this government, whether it be the FBI or DHS or whoever it is. They don't like the direction things are going either. They want to see things stopped in its tracks. They want to make sure that they have a country that has a future for their children as well. And so they come to us and say, look, this is how we're going to get 3-6 degrees of separation. We're going to give you this information. Go to open source to verify. Get it out there. This puts pressure on our bosses like you wouldn't believe. They don't want to see this stuff out there. They don't want the Common Sense Show talking about this. And they don't want to see an uptick in emails and sharing of articles that really hit these points home. This is why, again, I'll go back to scene.life. I won't do Facebook much longer. I'm, you know, weaning my way off of this because I'm trying to convince everyone I can to move. We need to have social media sites where we're sharing this, and then we become information conquistadors, and we go out there and we spread this information far and wide, and we change consciousness like Donald Trump has. Katie, what do you think about all this?
About, you know, actually, I was just thinking about, my mind was wandering because I was thinking about Kurt Schilling. So I admit you caught me off guard. I was just studying up.
You know, there will be a quiz here in 5 minutes.
I'm so sorry. I really am. But I was becoming internally outraged the more I read up on Kurt's adventure with ESPN, but go ahead and hit me with that again, because I'm sure I have an opinion to it.
Well, let me just put it to you another way. First of all, we are tracking Kurt down. We're working on establishing a communication with him. We have had some contact with the family, so we're almost there, folks, so we will have Kurt momentarily.
Good.
But the one thing I would say, Katie, is this, is that we have to continue to do what Donald Trump has managed to accomplish, which is change the consciousness of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And to do that, we need scene.life, and we need shows like this and websites like Steve Quayle.
Pulling the curtain back and letting everyone see this. And actually, Sanders has done it in his own way.
Yeah.
And I think Trump has done it in his own way. And they've pulled the curtain back on who's really running the operations and has run the operations, probably for 100 years. And it's interesting because it's all coming out. It's all beginning to surface. And that's where this tsunami of support is coming from for Trump and even for Sanders. But, yeah, there's a crescendo coming, Dave. Can I put it that way? There's
yeah.
Something in the air, not just from spraying, but there's an energy in the air. There's a truth that is making its way across the land like a wildfire. And most people who are just living their lives don't know quite what to do with it. It's catching them off guard. But it's also making sense. The information that is coming to the unaware, that they're slowly beginning to put the pegs together. They're putting the pieces of the puzzle, and it is causing an outrage. And that's why we have the most unusual election season I've ever seen, as Lisa said. Just
okay.
Amazing.
Well, I've got good news.
Yes, he's on.
We've got Kurt Schilling, yes. Okay, so thanks to the persistence of Todd, our crack producer, and the great network here at Global Star Radio Network, we're able to track Kurt down, and we've got him. We're pleased we've got him. Kurt, welcome to the show. We're glad you could join us.
Thank you. My fault for the mix-up. What's going on?
Well, we're basically been talking about issues surrounding your situation, and let me lay a little groundwork here. You're hearing Kurt Schilling, and I'll tell you, I'm from Arizona, as you all know, and Kurt was a vital part of our 2001 World Series championship team, good member of the community. Local roots here, Shadow Mountain High School. Kurt, I knew your coaches over at Shadow Mountain because I coached in the area as well, too.
Yep.
And just a good guy, a good American, just wanting to live his life, very accomplished in his trade. And, Kurt, it all kind of started for you going back to your innocent comment that paralleled the FBI. The FBI says 10% of all Muslims are radicalized.
Yeah.
And let's talk about where this started when you first ran into trouble with ESPN over your comments.
Well, the original meme that I posted was a commentary around comparing Islamic extremists to the core members of the Nazi Party. You can debate the percentages all you want, which I really don't care, but the message was very clear. They are one and the same. Murdering, defiling, doing whatever they do in the name of you know, I think racial purity or religious purity in a sense. Quickly after that, I was suspended. ESPN, you know, disavowed themselves of the tweet. And my first response was, well, they're disavowing themselves of something that is factually true, number one, but disavowing themselves is they're basically saying that I'm a racist and they're not, which if you remove the word extremist from the tweet, it's an incredibly racist. But the word extremist was the only word in that tweet that mattered.
Right.
And so they, along with, you know, tens of thousands of other liberals, had a target, and they used it. So, you know, that was the time period when I realized that the rules were very different for me and for anybody else that had a conservative perspective at ESPN.
I know. It's almost as if you could say something incredibly ridiculous, like, well, we invited terrorists to attack America. You might get away with that.
Well, you know, the latest one is the best one. You know, commenting around transgender bathrooms. If I had come out and said, transgenders are the greatest people in the world, and if you don't agree, you're a son of a bitch, they would have said, please don't use that language in public. You know, it's all about the message, not the message. And so,
exactly.
I get it. They have their own rules, and, you know, the challenge for me is, and the thing I think that really got me was, you're looking at a company that tries to preach inclusiveness, and they're intolerant, and they're bigoted, and that bothers me.
Well, that's very well put. In fact, actually, when the Muslim extremist comment came out, Kurt, I actually wrote to several entities inside ESPN, and I made a media inquiry. Sent the credentials, the whole nine yards, and I said, here is a quote from the FBI director who says, we can consider 10% of all Muslims to be extremists, and therefore we're concerned about not screening as they come into the country.
Right.
And I said, please respond to this publicly in fairness to Kurt Schilling. All I heard were crickets chirping,
yeah,
Kurt.
Well,
they didn't want to address it. They didn't want to hear it.
But that is, for me anyway, that is the left response, is once a fact is put on the table, the argument gets destroyed and they move on to something else. You know, and my whole commentary around that was, you got to grasp what those numbers mean. Listen, if the moderate Muslim world, and I don't say Muslim, the moderate Islamist world, because, you know, people continue to screw up Muslim, the people, with Islam, the religion, but if the moderate Islamic, if there is such a thing, world in Muslims around the world stood up against extremists, we wouldn't be here. They would have taken care of that problem back home. And that's not what happened. And now it's not on our shores, it's in our schools. And that's a scary thing.
Let's talk about that. What are you seeing with regard to what I think you're referring to as propaganda going on in our schools?
Well, I think that you're seeing a lot of people reach out, parents reach out with commentary around what their kids are being taught in school, or they're showing paperwork around our kids being taught the fundamental aspects of the Islamic religion, and the traits and tributes that go with that, and, you know, which, you know, that's fine. I don't care, as long as that's part of a much larger thing. And it appears to not be. It appears to be something very selective, which is bothersome, to say the least, because were that to be Christianity, we would have parents and faculty marching on Washington.
But we're not.
No.
Let me give you two examples. 4 years ago at Rocky Mountain High School in Fort Collins, Colorado, these people, both students and staff, were required to recite portions of the Quran with no equivalency to the Torah or to the Bible. And then 2012, the principal at Sierra High School would allow speaking about Muhammad and Islamic religion and forbade the use of the word Jesus and the Bible on her campus.
Mm-hmm.
So this is pretty extreme.
This is not new. You know what this is? This is the same thing as almost everything else in the sense that, you know, it's the look away, there's nothing to see here, look away, there's nothing to see here, and all of a sudden the stunning revelation that, you know, terrorists are killing people in the country, on our shores. So, you know, that's exactly, you know what it feels to me? It feels to me like the left wants absolutely everybody to believe in an absolute good, in a borderless world where everybody gets along, which, you know, I don't know what planet they're hoping that happens on. It's not going to happen here. There are people who want to kill everybody that doesn't believe in the faith they believe in, which, you know, that's fine as long as we're killing them first. I don't care.
Well, you just pulled the words out of my mouth. Kurt, when the first incident went down, and you made the comparison between the Muslim extremists and the Nazi party, and you were suspended. Did you get any private reaction from your colleagues who said, man, this really scares me the way ESPN is reacting?
No. I think that what I didn't get in response was out of fear of you know, being caught, so to speak, because that's not a... Being conservative is not something that's openly shared at that company. I came to learn that the easy way. But no, I mean, and this is from a bunch of people who, you know, clearly valued their job, and you know, that's fine. I didn't need people to reach out and support me because I know people that know the real world know that was the intent was to call out the extremists, not anybody else.
Well, then your colleagues are ignorant, because the old saying applies here, where they burn books, they'll soon burn people.
Yep.
And when you ban legitimate public discourse in public domains, you are banning books. You're burning books.
Well, you know what? I haven't really thought like that. And then, to some degree, I agree, but I try to explain to people, listen, my First Amendment wasn't encroached upon. You have the freedom to speak in this country, but you also, that doesn't give you freedom from repercussion. And it used to be, you know, you can't yell fire in a theater for personal safety. Well, that has turned into you can't speak out against anything liberals believe in or you're a racist, bigot, homophobic person. And again, I keep going back to a company preaching intolerance and acceptance is the most intolerant, bigoted group of people from a leadership perspective that I've ever known. The people I worked with were awesome. I loved my coworkers. But leadership at Disney is clearly, you know, hell-bent on being inclusive. But I continue to wonder where those transgender bathrooms are in Disneyland. I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, and you mentioned Disney. I think we need to explain this real quickly. Disney owns ABC, which owns ESPN, correct? Is that your reference there?
Yep.
Okay, so we're talking about a subsidiary corporation. Disney, very loyal to the Obama administration.
Oh, yeah.
And their liberal policies. They have exemptions up the wahoo from participating in Obamacare. Yep. So they're in Obama's hip pocket.
Well, here's the other thing, though. Here's the thing. They try to act like if you don't abide by what they believe in, you're an exclusive person. But aren't we, for the most part, all, except for people that are pure racist and sexist, we're all inclusive. You know, we can disagree, but I don't have a problem with who you sleep with, how you dress, what you did, none of that stuff. I don't care. But they want us to care about the things that matter to them and that we don't bother them.
Well, it seems like they want us to endorse it and embrace it.
Well, they want to
legislate
it.
Even though we don't agree with it.
No, they want to legislate it. That's the problem. Why the hell do we need our government in this? To tell right. people where they can go to the bathroom? Just go and shut up. If you never said anything, no one would know.
What I'm curious about, Kurt, when the first incident occurred with Muslim extremism, did you receive any private counseling from ESPN? Here
no.
are the do's and the don'ts.
No, you know what I found amazing about it is that when that tweet came out, I actually received some tweets, public tweets, from people of Muslim descendants that were saying, like, really nasty things about me. Can't believe I have to work with this bigot, blah, blah, blah. And nothing was ever done to those people. But that's, you know, like I said, I knew. When that happened, I knew. I knew that I was dealing with a coin that had only one side.
Okay, so Now comes the second incident. What you must have known there was going to be some ramifications when you came out with the meme and the post about transgender bathrooms and so forth.
Well,
take us back to that time and tell us what was going on in your mind.
Well, first of all, that wasn't my meme. That was I was responding to that horrifically ugly picture that you can't unsee. I was responding to it because my commentary was, you know, how hard is it to figure out the functionality of the two bathrooms? One has a urinal and the other one doesn't. There's obviously reasons why. You know, and with the overarching point, those are my dogs. With the overarching point being, do we seriously need our government to step in and tell us where we should be going to the bathroom? I mean, that's a legitimate question now, which that just seems very pathetic to me that we aren't allowed to handle those problems on our own. I certainly don't need a government that's proven as divisive and corrupt as anybody in my history to make those decisions for me.
And I'm asking kind of an obvious question here, but when you were considering coming out about the transgender bathroom issue, did you mindfully consider the ramifications towards your
employment? You're making it out to be more than it is. There was no coming out. I made a comment on a Facebook page that was visible only to my friends. There was no coming out. I just commented on, you know, men should use the men's rooms and I think women should use the women's rooms and we shouldn't need our government to get involved in there. That was not coming out. Just an opinion I offered. It's still my opinion. But
you're saying this was done. This was done just with your friends. This was a private.
Somebody had to pull it off of my Facebook page and post it publicly because the only people that could see it were people that are quote unquote friends on Facebook. So.
Wow.
But that's it's an opinion, and I was completely blindsided by this one because this was just kind of off the cuff. But apparently, all these people screaming, "I don't care what you think," they do.
That's amazing. It's just so you didn't even really think that you had to consider any ramifications because you're just sharing this among friends.
Well, okay. So I'll just repeat the tweet, the post. You know, men's rooms are made for people that pee standing up, and women's rooms not so much. That we need our government to get involved in this decision making is pathetic. Where in any way, shape, or form is that transphobic or homophobic or anything? It's not.
I don't see the basis for any concern.
Any concern? None. And here's how I know. My 16-year-old son is very involved in that community. In the club at high school, has friends that are involved in that community, all the things that do with that. They're in and out of our house. They're great kids. I don't care. I've never cared. And he walked in and said, "Dad, I don't know why people are making all this big of a deal out of this. It seems kind of stupid." And it is, but that's where we are. People are in such a dire need to create a crisis around something that most people don't care about. So, I mean, my God, look at Bruce Jenner. He's like famous now for whatever. I don't know why, other than being a gold medal athlete.
But he already had his awards. Here we are, 30, 40 years later. Why is he still receiving awards from ESPN? He doesn't compete in anything.
But here's the thing. If you had never heard of him and the situation he was in, would your life be any different today? None of our lives would be. Who cares? But there's clearly a segment of people that care a lot. And apparently what he did was incredibly courageous. So there you go.
You know, Kurt, I come from a mental health therapist background. That's one of my original professional trainings. And I went through
DSM. Oh, you must be on a field day these days.
Oh, my God, Kurt, listen. This is why I'm not in a profession anymore.
Yeah.
And this is one of the hallmark reasons right here. I mean, I'm talking 20 years, 30 years of clinical data saying that when people engage in becoming transgender, what you usually, not always, but usually find are related clinical issues. And a lot of them are gender identity disorder. Now that term has totally disappeared from the new DSM-5, and all this research and clinical data we had went out the window in favor of politics.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's clearly a choice, right? I mean, that's the way I understand it, and I could be wrong, but it's a choice, and that's somebody's choice, that's fine. It's everybody's free to do what they want.
Well, no, you're right. No one's going to force these people into treatment. No one's going to put them away for anything.
No.
It's just
but why
it's
do they
being
have to say
forced
anything?
On us.
Why do we have to care? Like I said, I guarantee you, in my lifetime, I've gone to the same bathroom in the same bathrooms as people that are transgender. I don't care. I didn't care yesterday. I'm not going to care tomorrow. Why does anybody have to say anything? And I think the concern, if that's the right word, is I think you've given the world's worst scum in pedophiles another small opening to be, you know, evil. And I don't know how that's a good thing. If this whole transgender thing is a decision, then can I make a decision based on a day-to-day basis on what I feel like being? And if this is the case, why not just have one restroom for everybody?
That's coming.
It is. No, it's not. Not if, after this election, I don't think it is.
Well, if Trump prevails, perhaps not.
There's no possible way the country I grew up in, anyone else on this ticket can prevail. Unless somebody cheats or breaks the law. Because the best that they have to offer is someone who should be in jail for the rest of her life and somebody who would have been too left for Russia in 1955. And if that ends up being someone that gets a majority of the delegates and votes, then we've jumped the shark in a way that no one ever imagined.
Well, you talked about cheating, and I'll just throw it right out there on the table. There's one way the other side can cheat and get Hillary in, and they don't have to break any laws, and that's to get the Electoral College not to vote for Donald Trump. They have that right.
Yeah. I have a feeling if that were the case, that there would be much bigger issues than the candidate. I think you'd have this is leaning itself towards. Well, I mean, the left has proven right. If we don't agree with you, we're going to riot and we're going to physically beat and abuse people, and because we're not tolerant. But you need to be tolerant of us. And, you know, the problem is somebody just, I think, we're at a time and place now where Americans, I don't want to say like me, but I'm not okay with it anymore. I'm in a position I could lose my job over my beliefs. A lot of people aren't, and I get that, but I'm done allowing that to be a driving force. I'm not going to say things. I don't ever try and say things to offend people. And 9 times out of 10, if you get offended, it's because you're an idiot and you deserve it. But I'm not racist. I'm not homophobic. I'm not transphobic. I'm nothing phobic. Not a big fan of spiders. But other than that, nothing. I don't care. And if me not caring is a problem for you, then you and I have a problem. And that seems to be a problem for the left. So.
Did you have any dialogue on your termination? Did you get any rationale explanations?
Well, so the day I got fired, they asked me to drive 2 hours down to Bristol, and I did. And I ended up meeting with the HR person to tell, quote, my side of the story, unquote. And my first comment was, wait a minute, I don't understand. How are there two sides to this story? Well, you know, other people, I said, no, this is just like the last two times. People have taken something I've said and made it into something I didn't say and then said I said it. So, you know, I made a comment to them that, listen, you're a company that employs some of the most racist human beings in sports broadcasting. You have people here that are drunk drivers, wife abusers, drug users, whatever you want to call them, which, again, all that's fine. But if those are all okay, and you're firing me for this, you got to stop calling yourselves the tolerant, inclusive group of people you want to be and come out as the intolerant bigots that you actually are. That didn't go over very well, so. But that day, I was supposed to work that night, and I didn't bring my work clothes because I knew it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And imagine they told you, okay, well, here's what did you violate in your contract? I'm just curious. I can't see how you violated anything.
Well, they sent out a memo when I first made the tweet about extremists, and they wanted all on-air talent to not talk about politics. They wanted us to stick with sports. And I came to realize that they wanted all on-air talent named Curt Schilling to stick to sports. Because it was okay for Tony Kornheiser, who's as, you know, as racist as anybody, to compare ISIS to the Tea Party. Stephen A. Smith, he brings up a racist topic on a daily basis. And he's the guy that said Robert Griffin wasn't playing quarterback for the Redskins because he was black, and it was actually because he sucked. You know, all of those things. And then, so it became a rule. They sent out a memo warning us, and like I said, I was the only one that got called out for it and ended up getting fired for it. So,
do you see these policies coming out of places like ESPN designed purposefully to be divisive, to divide one group against
another? I don't know
that
they're divisive. Listen, here's the thing. When you're a privately owned company, you have a fiduciary responsibility to make as much money as you can for your shareholders. Mm-hmm. And so ESPN believes that is part of that is their brand, or Disney believes part of that is their brand. And so they believe if you harm the brand, and they can tell people, and I guess it comes down to what they believe harms their brand. And I think that they believed that, you know, me talking about extremists and Nazis and me talking about Hillary Clinton going to jail and me talking about using the men's room if you're a man was ruining their brand. So there you go.
Wow. Everyone is sitting here right now in the listening audience contemplating what they can say with regard to their employer.
Well, the employers have shut this down. Now, listen, I got it very early on at ESPN. The only time people ever talked to me about politics is when they would come up to me and whisper, "Hey, I think like you. You know, I'm with you." Like it was like we were part of this secret card carrying member club. And you know, anything else you could talk about, but if you talked about politics, it was amazing how uncomfortable people got and shut up, how quickly they shut up.
So now your promising career has been cut short. what direction do you pivot now? I mean, I don't think your career is over in terms of working.
Oh, no, no, no. This was probably
in terms of being with.
This will end up being a blessing.
Yeah, but in terms of being with ESPN, things are going to change. So what kind of pivot does Curt Schilling take now?
Well, I've already started. I'm messing around with. I'm going to start doing some stuff on a personal basis. Like I'm going to start on a weekly basis, doing some live streaming every Sunday, watching a baseball game, and letting people kind of quote unquote watch it with me. I've done it now a couple times, and it's a blast. I have a fun doing it. Everything is on the table. We talk about everything. And plus, I think I'm going to be doing a weekly talk show, or a couple different talk shows on Sirius. I hope about sports, politics, life, things that move the needle. Things that I'm passionate about besides baseball. So everything happens for a reason, and I think we'll come out of the other side of this with our heads up.
Well, you had a blessed baseball career. I mean, as good as
a blessed
many.
Life.
Life. Absolutely. I mean, World Series in multiple cities, the Bloody Sock. I mean, you've had so much that you can be proud of. But now you're turning into a different direction here, more in the mode of what I'm hearing as an activist. So besides the Muslim extremism and the transgender bathroom issue, you know, what moves the needle for Curt Schilling?
Things that move. I'm very interested in being involved in the things that are affecting and impacting this country on a daily basis, whether it be our completely outdated and archaic education system, whether it be being someone who's pro-life and figuring out how to fix that whole thing, because we've become a company that has placed a very has a reduced value on human life, and that to me is permeating everything that we do. There's a generation of young kids who think Bernie Sanders is the greatest human being in the world, which in and of itself is a huge problem, because the things that he espouses and the things he talks about are so opposite of the things that founded this country and made this country great from a success perspective. When you disincentivize people to achieve, you know, you become a third world European nation. You know, you become a Soviet Union when the government runs everything and everybody's quote-unquote equal except for all the people with all the money. Doesn't look any different. 5% 90% of the people still have 95% of the wealth, but it's the corrupt top of the pile, government people. It's not entrepreneurs. And entrepreneurs are what built this country.
That I agree with. With regard to Donald Trump, where do you stand with his candidacy?
Well, listen, he's clearly the guy I hope is the next president of the United States. You know, I haven't publicly come out and say that. I don't know that I'm someone that needs to come out and publicly say that. But, you know, I want to see, I'm starting to see a little bit more detail around his plans, which I think is important. I would like to see, I don't know, I guess some of the playground stuff stop. But I also know that every time he says something that isn't along the lines of a politician, more people flock to him. So whatever he needs to do to get into the White House and fix his country, I'm all for. And, of the three people remaining, I think he's the only one that loves this country above all else and wants to keep Americans safe first and foremost. I don't think there's any question about that. And that's what I want in the White House.
Well, let's go for some fireworks here then, because I think I know what you're going to tell me, but I want to hear it. Hillary Clinton. My feeling, I'll take the first step here. I fear her more becoming president than Trump not making it to the presidency.
Well,
let's
start with the facts. Hillary Clinton, I can't fathom, she has to be indicted. She has to be, her career needs to end with an indictment, because this is a lying, scheming, underhanded, evil, corrupt felon. And the fact that she's the leading Democratic nominee is in itself disgusting. This is a woman who, I don't even know if people, first of all, let's just go to the basic. This woman lied about landing under fire in Kosovo. How stupid do you have to be in that position, knowing full well you're on camera all the time? Like, is she that dumb that she thinks the rest of the world is that ignorant or stupid or gullible? This is a woman who lied to the members of the Benghazi families who were murdered because of her negligence, lied to them about all of the things surrounding their death. What has she ever done? You know what? Here's the thing. A job title, Carly Fiorina had it right. Just because you have a job title, that doesn't make you something. Having a job title means that's your job. She was nothing she ever did. Ask a Hillary Clinton supporter. Name something she's done successful. I hear nothing but crickets. I think she's an evil person. I hope that justice is served, and I hope that she serves the rest of her life in prison, but we all know that's probably not going to happen.
Well, not as long as Loretta Lynch is the Attorney General.
Oh, my God, another one. This is the most divisive group of human beings to ever sit in power since my lifetime started. Eric Holder, all of them.
You're on Loretta's Lynch there somewhere, because she came out after the San Bernardino, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, the San Bernardino incident when an ISIS member killed 14 Americans. She didn't express sympathy for the families. She told the rest of us to shut up should you dare speak out against Muslim extremism.
Right. But, you know, I keep going back to, they think we're that stupid. They really do. They think we're that ignorant and that stupid. They talk down to us. They talk around us and past us because they think we'll just suck it up and take it. And I think we're done taking it.
I hope you're right, but what I worry about are all the tricks that...
Yep.
Let me just share this with you, too, about what's coming up this summer. I was asked by two different groups to go cover the convention in Cleveland, and I can't for various reasons. But I also found out that MoveOn.org and Black Lives Matter, groups controlled by George Soros, Hillary Clinton's one of her best friends, have taken out massive amounts of hotel rooms at $300 a night in Cleveland. I think Cleveland's going to burn, Kurt. I think it's going to be hell on earth.
Yep. Would it surprise you?
No.
And isn't that terrifying? That we're at a time and a place where we would not be surprised if people burned a city to the ground because they disagree with the party's choice for a candidate. That is terrifying.
That tells you how far we've sunk.
Yeah, and it's how fast we've sunk. This administration has managed to almost ruin this country in less than 8 years.
It is. And Bush did a good enough job himself, but you're absolutely right about the effect.
I'm a very dear friend of the family, but yes, I think towards the end of his presidency, he undid a lot of the things that he did.
The Patriot Act.
Yep.
In support of violation of constitutional amendments like the Fourth
Amendment.
Well,
here's the thing about the Patriot Act, and I don't know. You know what? I have a lot of private personal secrets, like everybody does. And I think if people found out about my personal stuff, I'd be embarrassed. I wouldn't want other people to know, but you know what? There's no felonies in that closet. There's no crime in that closet. So if my kids' safety on a school bus is predicated by the government needing to be that intimately involved with people's business, you know, I'm okay with that. But here, the problem is, and I'm sure everybody else thinks the same, when evil people have access to that kind of stuff, then you rig elections. Then you throw and you know, all the evil things evil people do. And that's the challenge, is we can't trust any of them because we're all human. We all have bias. We all have prejudice.
That's very true. But unfortunately, we're increasingly not allowed to express our own biases and prejudices.
Yep.
We're being locked into a
straitjacket.
Well,
you're allowed to. You're just, now you're going to get in trouble if that opinion, that bias, that thing is right of center.
Well, I'm not so sure how long we're going to be allowed to. I mean, Loretta Lynch's threats after San Bernardino were quite clear. We're talking jail time.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, they're talking about legislation around jailing climate deniers.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? And we're still, how in the world are we still hearing about the 97%? That was a lie from the beginning. It was 97% of 160 respondents to a telephone survey that agreed. And of those 97%, over 80% of them had written papers on climate change being real before the survey. This isn't 97% of the science community. It's like 150 people. But the world has been told 97% of scientists agree climate change is real. And that's a lie. It's a bold-faced, fabricated lie. But here we are. Now you might go to jail. Wait, what? How does that work?
It's already happening in Germany.
Yep.
If you speak against Muslim immigration in any form, even in a civil manner, 30 days, $5,000.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm curious to see what happens now in London. They just elected the first mayor, a Muslim. That doesn't mean bad things, but I'm curious to see how that plays out.
My fear, Sharia law is going to rear its ugly head in London.
Oh, God. Yeah, and you know what? That's where I'm going to go back to the good old U.S. of A. And our, what we were founded on, what we believe in as Americans, and the Constitution is very ironclad, very clear, pretty easy to understand. And this is the reason, at the end of the day, the Second Amendment was created for the very occasion of a government becoming tyrannical. And that is, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist and end of the world, but you know what? The government is trying to take more and more and more power over things that are, you know, less and less and less they should be involved in. Is actually the opposite is happening. And I think people are legitimately fearful of it.
Well, some of those conspiracy theories are true.
Well, that's the problem, though. The problem is, I would tell you, in my opinion, is that people are throwing up so much garbage that the facts are being lost in all the white noise. And if you look at Facebook, every other post is, oh, my God, can you believe so-and-so did? And then you go to the article, and it's not actually what they did, and they didn't actually say anything. But we're getting desensitized to it. And so every time somebody says, you know, big money's behind the election, George Soros owns so-and-so, you know, everybody looks at it like Mel Gibson in conspiracy theory. When, if you're just a normal American who actually does their own work and researches stuff, you understand that's real.
Yeah, let me just give you one example, Kurt. Of these conspiracy theories coming to fruition. FM 39.4, it's an Army document that was released. They not only talk about how FEMA camps are constructed, they talk about how they want to train foreign operatives to take them over because they'll do what needs to be done. more so than American troops who may not fire on American soldiers. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's all in FM 39.4, and I've published it. And my position is this. If this isn't going to be our reality, then why would the government be wasting time producing documents in these areas?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions around a lot of things, and
really,
you know,
are.
I grew up a military brat. I grew up around the Army. I've been an enormous supporter of our armed forces, and been able to visit them overseas multiple times. I hold out my faith in God that at the end of the day, if the rubber were to meet the road, and that worst case possible scenario happened, that the soldiers sworn to defend against terror, foreign and domestic, would recognize where the terror actually was. And that's my hope. You know, I pray to God I never have to actually take up arms in my own country against a tyrannical government. But, you know, in some way, shape, or form, I thought about it. You know, what would I do? How would I do it? How would I protect my family? And the fact that we even have to consider those things is terrifying in and of itself. Doesn't change the way you live day to day, but you certainly, you know, people talk about the Second Amendment carrying a sidearm, which I do at all times, saying, you know, if you can't trust anyone, why would we trust you? And that's not the case at all. I carry a sidearm because I don't know who to trust anymore. Not because I can't trust anyone. I'm not sure who I'm supposed to trust. And, you know, when my government continually tries to make excuses for and apologize for, you know, the things happening on our own soil, the Fort Hood, you know, workplace violence terrorist attack, something's wrong. Something's really, really wrong. And so, you know, trying to be smart about it.
Well, it's interesting to hear you consider these things, because I think this is what's driving a lot of people to Trump. Just out of curiosity, and if you can't tell us, I understand, has anybody from the Trump campaign reached out to you and asked you to be an advisor?
I've known Mr. Trump about 10 years. He asked me, believe it or not, three years in a row, he asked me to be on Celebrity Apprentice, and I couldn't do it. But we got to know each other a little bit. I got to know him a little bit over the phone, and I like him. The problem is that in this world we live in, people seem to think they need to look for the candidate that's perfect, and none of them are. I don't agree with all of his platforms. I'm sure I disagree with some vehemently. But I'm not just, you know, you can't, I don't think you can vote for a candidate based on how it's going to impact your life and your life alone. I think for me, I'm voting for the candidate that is going to keep my family safe, or try to keep them as safe as possible, you know, with the love of the country first. And I think he's the only one left that does both those things. You know, I get a feeling that you've got Clinton and Sanders both trying to apologize for what this country is, as opposed to being proud of what we are. Yeah, there's a disparity in income, but you know what? And the game is absolutely 100% rigged. You know why?
You're talking about wealth disparity?
Yep, it's rigged. The game is totally rigged, and I'll tell you why. It's rigged 100% in favor of the people that work harder. And that's the way it's supposed to be rigged. When you look at a man like Dr. Ben Carson and realize this man came from the deepest, worst poverty you could have in Detroit without a father, and look where he got himself to, you know, I look at it like I look at Dustin Pedroia in the big leagues. The day Dustin Pedroia won the MVP, no person 5'8 and under ever had an excuse again. You know, the amount of people that have pulled themselves up and made themselves into something out of nothing in this country is makes us unlike any place in the world. And that is, you know, the American dream. Listen, I think we should have health care for everybody. Everybody, for the most part, you can't be refused health care if you're sick. But I get it. The system isn't as good as it could be. But if you don't agree with Obamacare, so apparently you're rich and you don't want other people to have health care. That's not true. I want everybody to have health care, but it needs to be done in a way that doesn't add to the $19 trillion in debt we already are. And there's a lot of ways you can do that. There's a lot of ways you can do that. You know, why on earth are we so hell-bent on opening our borders and making sure we take care of Muslims and immigrants of all nations, But our vets are homeless. We have homeless children. The VA is an absolute disaster. How are we not taking care of, first and foremost, the people that have protected us and taken care of us? It's a disgrace. It's embarrassing. Our soldiers are buried all over countries, all over the world, because we traveled around the world in defense of free people or in defense of defenseless people. There's nobody buried over here. People never didn't come to our aid.
The people that are buried over here are 23 veterans a day that commit suicide because we've ignored them.
Horrific. Horrific. And the fact that that has gotten so little play is disgusting. Everybody, there should be people, the VA needs to be cleaned out. It needs to be cleaned out. People need to be put in jail. And the rules need to change tomorrow. And there should not be a veteran or a veteran's family in this country that doesn't have a roof over their head and hot food on the table. That would be a priority, number one. That and our children. We have way, 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 way too many homeless people in this country, number one. And number two, way too many homeless kids.
You said a mouthful right there. First of all, under TRICARE, the statistic I just read recently, Kurt, said that military benefits with medical and housing are going down tremendously.
Yeah.
And that it's dropping our veterans, many of them, into the poverty classes.
Yep.
Unacceptable. This is unacceptable.
Here's the thing. Is there any doubt in your mind that this administration has gone to very great lengths to weaken our military?
None.
Now, maybe they haven't set out to actually, that wasn't the objective, but they have done it. They have weakened our military. It's the weakest it's ever been in my life, I think. And they put our soldiers in harm's way, and they put them in dangerous situations that didn't have to be. But they've also gone as farther than anybody I've ever known in disincentivizing people to join. Why would you want to join? Listen, other than pride and integrity, and thank God we still make people that have those things. But other than those two things, why would you? What career do you think you're going to have in the military making $40,000 a year with crappy benefits, crappy insurance, a government that doesn't really care about you? When you retire, you know what? Hang with them. You're on your own. That's not who we are. Well, at least it's not who we were.
It's who we've become, Kurt. This is what America is today.
Yeah. And I think that's why one of the reasons that I'm okay taking all the crap that I take for saying what I believe, because I do believe in those things, and I do want the changes to happen that need to happen before all the bull. We're seriously having massive debates, people losing jobs, riots, protests, people beating each other over who can pee where. Yet, like you said, 23 men a day, 23 soldiers a day. How in the world did we get here? How in the world did we get to a point where we felt okay abandoning those that have given the ultimate sacrifice and those whose families have done the same? We've done it because we put people like Hillary Clinton and her husband in positions of leadership, people that are morally as bankrupt as you could possibly be in positions of leadership, and that's revolting. That's disgusting.
What's really amazing to me, and I'm just so taken back by this, you can't spend 5 minutes listening to Donald Trump and not understand how free trade agreements have bankrupted millions of Americans through the loss of jobs and the relocation of factories overseas, and yet every one of the candidates that's left, Hillary, and you look at Bernie, they all presided over the exodus of jobs under these agreements. How could anybody support them in these instances?
Well, here's the problem. The agreements are I think, a secondary issue to the fact that this country has tried as hard as it could to become unfriendly to small business.
Yeah.
When you look at what did people think were going to happen when healthcare premiums shot through the roof for businesses? Did they think they were going to hire more people? No. I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. When you have a capitalist market and you have a free market and companies have a fiduciary responsibility to make as much money as they can for their shareholders, what did you think was going to happen at McDonald's when you were thinking about taking them, increase their minimum wage to $15 over a couple of years? They're going to do what any business would do. They're going to hire less people, and they're going to automate more. Now you can run McDonald's with two people. You don't think that's going to happen all over the country? That's we have disincentivized the entrepreneur in so many ways. They're killing the thing that built us. I get it. You know, brick and mortar is changing. I don't think it's going the way of the dinosaur, but it's changing, and we need to change with it. You know what? Let's give all of the companies that you place laws in place that made them or helped them go and push money overseas and store money overseas. Give them a year. Give them a 1 year amnesty to bring all that money back and pay a small fine, billions, whatever. And then place things in practice and in place for that money to stay here, for that money to help us, for that money to do the things we want to do here. We're $19 trillion in debt. I don't see that going down anytime soon. And if it doesn't go down, people think, you know, it's not a big deal. You know what? When a company that has you by the financial testicles, so to speak, like a China, squeezes, this country doesn't, I don't think, understands the pain that we will endure.
Well, I get the feeling that Trump is just going to look at China and say, no, we don't care what the agreements were, this game is over.
I think he's going to look at a lot of things and say, you know what, the person that did this was incompetent. Not going to happen. This Iran deal, I mean, seriously, are you kidding me? This administration made a deal with a country that will not and has not ever abided by any agreements, except the ones that serve themselves. On top of that, what was it, $150 billion?
Yeah.
Now, Iran needs infrastructure. Iran needs, just like Iraq. I mean, I've been there. I've seen it up close. But until you have people in the position of power who care about the common folk there, it doesn't matter how much money you send them. Now, what, less than a month after the agreement, they're testing ICBMs. And people are like, well, we knew that was going to happen. What? Why? There's no disincentive to flip your finger at us now. I think we've lost our global standing in a massive way. I think Russia and China look at us and think we're leaderless, which I think people feel like we are. The man in the White House, to me, has done more to ruin this country in 7.5 years than anybody I've ever known. We are more racially divided now than we have ever been, by a long shot, in my life.
Well, you're preaching to the choir on this show, and you're preaching to the choir with our audience. This was his mission. He is a traitor. There's people
well,
like
here's
me talking
here's
about
the thing.
It.
Hey,
Kurt, let me have you hold that thought. I'm sorry, because we're coming into our top of the hour break.
Yep.
And when we come back, I want to pick this up right here with Obama and his treasonous behavior.
Right.
And we'll hit you back here in the beginning of hour number three. We got 30 more minutes with Kurt Schilling. And hour number three, don't touch that dial. Stay where you're at.